Interstate Batteries offers a wide variety of batteries for your everyday needs. Stop into one of their thousands of retail locations and talk with a battery specialist about batteries for your truck, trail cameras, and even those weird batteries for your rangefinder. Interstate Batteries even offers cell phone repair in certain locations. For more information, visit interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And joining me on the show today is Cole Bittler. Now, Cole is an outdoorsman from Virginia. He hunts anything and everything, and he has access to a ton of private land, which is every outdoorsman's dream. But I'm excited to hop on with him, hear all about his outdoor adventures, hear what Virginia has to offer. It's going to be a great episode. So let's jump in.
Like, he was doing things that were just badass.
That was one of the coolest moments of my life.
I was really scared, but knowing that Dan had the gun, I did have the rifle, like, we would be okay.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show. And joining me on the show today is Cole Bittler, and Cole is from Virginia. He's a big time deer hunter, dove hunter, turkey, bear, you name it. He loves to do it. And so I'm excited to just talk. I love talking with fellow hunters. So Cole, thanks for hopping on with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I'm looking forward to seeing what we can talk about and stories we can share.
Yeah. Why don't you start out by sharing a little bit about yourself? Maybe how you got into the outdoors or what your favorite outdoor hobbies are now.
Yeah. So I grew up always interested in hunting and started tagging along on turkey hunts. I was probably 8 or 9 years old and didn't carry a gun, but got dragged around the mountains to at least hear them. And that was fun. And then got into deer hunting, and I actually killed my first deer on my very first deer hunt, which was pretty pumped. And yeah, came down to the final minutes of the day, but we got it done. And from there, it's taken off and something I look forward to every fall and get to share it with friends and family too. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, first deer hunt ever. It's like, it's not easy for an experienced person to go out and kill one on their first sit, much less a first time hunter. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, there was a guy that was in our church that took me and my dad out and down to the last light of the day. And we were sitting on a hardwood ridge and a little button buck came up and feeding on some acorns, and I had a buck shot, and that was the end of him.
That's awesome. I've hunted coyotes with buckshot here. I don't know if you can legally here in Missouri or not. I use a rifle now, but growing up we used shotguns almost exclusively in Wisconsin, at least like me and my siblings did. But I would shoot them with a 20 gauge slug all the time. And now I'm like, dude, I haven't run into anybody who hunts deer with a shotgun.
That's the only one I've ever killed with a shotgun. And that's only because that's all I had to use. So yeah. That was it. And I got a rifle the next year.
Nice. So what is hunting like there in Virginia? Because I don't know that I've ever even been through Virginia before. What's the terrain like? What is it like chasing after whitetails there?
It's different depending on the part of the state that you're in. So I'm more near the Blue Ridge Mountains and Shenandoah National Park. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not, but it's up in the mountains. So it's a pretty good mix. You got ag fields, you got hardwood ridges and things like that. So depending on where they're feeding or what they're feeding on, you can kind of pick your poison. I have friends from college that live closer to the Eastern Shore, Richmond area. It's really flat. So for them, it's a lot different than what it looks like for me. And I've never hunted down that way, but they hunt with a lot of shotguns down there. There's a lot of shotgun counties because it's so flat. But where we are, you're either on a hardwood ridge or you're sitting on the edge of a cornfield or soybeans or alfalfa is another good one. If you can catch it early season, had a lot of success in muzzleloader season over alfalfa fields. So
nice. I mean, it sounds, based on how you described it, like kind of a perfect blend of habitat for deer between ag fields and then hardwood ridges. Like I grew up hunting hardwood hills. I mean, I guess you could say there were some ridges mixed in there, but it was like, you couldn't see more than 100 yards, or like you could catch a glimpse of something 100 yards away, but odds of having a window to shoot through was slim to none. But I love it. I mean, here in Missouri, I mainly hunt field edges, but I always look forward to getting back to that spot, because when I go there, it's like deer could just be on top of you like that. Typically, where I hunt here in Missouri, I see them coming from 200 yards away first. But yeah, when you're in those thick cover situations, it adds a whole new element of adrenaline once you actually catch movement.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, there's cornfields on the farm, and you can see them 300-500 yards away and sit there and watch them. And then you go to the other side of the farm, and there's a mountain that is kind of the edge of the property. You can sit up there, and it's a listening game. And is it a squirrel or is it a deer? And trying to wait it out. It's pretty fun.
Oh, I know that feeling all too well. The whole, I mean, you, as a hunter, as you progress as a hunter, I feel like you get more confident, like, oh, okay, no, that was definitely a squirrel, but I'm still wrong 90% of the time. Or I guess I should say 50% of the time, probably. It's got to be close to half and half, where it's like, all right, that one was definitely. I will say there is like the unmistakable, when you hear a deer running through the woods, you know for sure. But
yeah,
those tree rats, man, they get me every single year.
Yeah, I've been tempted to bring a BB gun and just take them out because they get on my nerves, but I have yet to do it.
Yeah, I've thought about doing like a small game tip arrow when I'm out bow hunting. I don't think you can legally do that here in Missouri, but I'm like, every year at the start of archery season, I question why I haven't wiped every squirrel off of the property during squirrel season. Like, they always bug me. It drives me nuts. And then they'll sit up in the tree above me and just chatter. Like, I mean, I'm guessing it's some type of alert chatter. Like they saw me move and then they just end up there and don't shut up.
Yeah.
So aside from whitetail hunting, you had mentioned turkey hunting that you used to tag along. Turkey hunting. Is that still something you get out and do?
Yeah. I haven't been very successful at it. When I was, I don't know, it was 10 or 11, I was carrying a gun. It was the last day of the season. And we were hunting public land a lot at this point because I didn't have too many connections or places to hunt. But we got there and shut the truck door and heard a gobble right away. So we hoofed it up to a clear cut. And within 5 or 6 minutes, there were about 6 of them gobbling on the roost. And one of them flew down 5 yards in front of us and one flew down overhead. I just remember my dad telling me, don't move. And then he's telling me, shoot. And I've never even seen a turkey, and I choked and we spooked them all. And since then it's been nothing but bad luck.
So, oh no.
But it's a good reason to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it is for me. I mean, turkey hunting's fun. It just bridges the gap between other seasons. But
I have been
looking forward to it a lot more this off season to get out. But like here, we've got the full month of October is shotgun season for turkeys. So like you can shoot a hen or a tom, but I don't have any desire. Like if there is something else that I can actively hunt, like a deer, I really don't think I'm ever going to pick up a shotgun in October to chase after a turkey. The only exception I would make to that is maybe if I'm driving past one of my hunting properties and I see turkeys out there, then I might grab the shotgun and try to put a stock on one. But if I had the option of sitting there with my bow and potentially shooting a turkey or a deer with my bow or just a shotgun, I just visualize it every time. Every time I'm like, oh man, I'm not going to bring the rifle out. Well, I see a coyote that I should have shot with the rifle, right? And then if I don't bring if I do bring it, I never see him. I feel like that would happen to me with turkey hunting. I'd go out there specifically to shoot an October bird with my shotgun, and then like the buck of my dreams would walk out and I would have been able to kill it with a bow.
Yeah, there's a fall turkey season here. I don't hunt it much because it overlaps with deer season, but there's a bow season that runs pretty much with archery deer season. So you can go either or if you see one. And then there's a firearm season, but it's got a weird come and go schedule. And then it's out by, I think, mid-November and comes back for Thanksgiving Day, and then I think that's it. So I've just never bothered with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if like deer hunting was completely shut down, I would go out and do fall turkey. But
yeah,
like, I guess here in Missouri, if I shoot one buck with my bow, I legally can't shoot another buck until the second portion of archery season. So maybe at that point, if I shot an early buck with my bow, then I would go out with the shotgun. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
How many bucks are y'all allowed to shoot out there? Because I think that's another difference in Virginia's seasons.
We can shoot two here.
Okay. Virginia lets you shoot three, and you get three antlerless tags as well, and then you can buy as many more antlerless tags as you want. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like it. It's very interesting to me, and I'm sure somebody's done a study about it. The amount of bucks you can shoot versus like the age structure in a state. Because I hear about places where you can shoot like three or five bucks, and I'm like, dude, if I shot $5 a year, like I wouldn't have any bucks left after 2 years, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess you guys just have enough deer there that the fish and game department or whatever your natural resources department is says, hey, we can handle losing three per hunter.
Yeah, I'm not sure where they get their data from. I'd like to see it, but like this year they added a late antlerless only season. So for us here, bow season starts the first weekend of October, runs all October, and then black powder starts usually like the last weekend of October, or first weekend of November, depending on how the calendar falls. And then firearm season comes in the second weekend of November and runs from there till first weekend of January. And then this year they added a late antlerless only season from January to March.
Did you say firearm season?
Like 6 weeks. Yeah, that's the longest one we have.
That is nuts. Our archery season goes pretty long. It goes like September 15th to January 15th. But our rifle season here, I think, is only 9 days or 10 days.
Yeah.
Gosh, man.
The Orange Army is strong.
That's unreal. Do you guys have like the longest rifle season out of any state, or are there other states that have similar seasons?
I don't know. I've never really looked at other states, but this year they also added like a whole 3 month antlerless only season at the end of the regular season. So it's even longer. I'll be interested to see how it turns out.
Do they just hate deer in your state? Is that what it is? Cause like that is a lot.
There's a lot.
I mean, that's crazy. I wouldn't complain here. Well, I say that until all the deer started disappearing, and then I might. But I mean, have you noticed any type of decline, or have numbers and populations seemed to stay pretty consistent?
They seem to stay pretty consistent. And 2 years ago I killed six, and after the sixth one, and we processed all our own, and I was done. That was enough for me. Pulling the trigger's fun, and then the real work begins, and I've had enough after a while.
Oh yeah. I think the anticipation of filling your tag is so great for me, like, because I only have two opportunities at a buck here. And if it was like, hey, you can kill 20 bucks, I feel like the allure of buck, like hunting for a mature buck, would change for me, you know?
Yeah.
Like if it was like, oh, there's one, and there's one, and there's one, and there's one, and I could just mow them all down, I probably wouldn't be as into it. But like the fact that you have to decide, all right, what am I going to use my two tags for this year? Like, what would I really be happy with? And for some people, that's a button buck or a spike or a fork or whatever. For me, I go off of the deer that I know are out there. So I do a lot of scouting. I put a lot of cameras out and, you know, collect data. But this year there's three, maybe four, depending on what the final one looks like in velvet, that I would take. And so unless like a total freak out of nowhere showed up on the property, you know, I would never kill all of the bucks on the property, because I also like to see them year to year. So
yeah, I've never killed more than one one nice buck in a year, just because they're out there, but you don't see them a ton, and I'd rather just leave them there for a little while longer than mow them all down. So, and I'm fortunate enough, the farm that my in-laws have, between what they own and what they rent, is like 1,100 acres of private land that there's not too much pressure on. So there's resident deer that stay there, and as long as you don't do anything crazy, or they don't do anything crazy and leave, they'll come back.
Man, that's amazing. 1,100 acres of private land. I'm very blessed around here to have access to like roughly 300 acres, and I absolutely love it. But 1,100, that's a whole different ballgame.
It's a blessing and a curse, because there's just so much, and I can only cover so much at one time. So it can be like a needle in a haystack, but then the rut comes around and you kind of know where they're going to be, and that's when it gets fun. So
how many people are hunting that property?
I'm probably the one that hunts it most consistently. Some of my wife's family, cousins and stuff like that, they'll hunt it some as well, but they're not there every weekend like I am, but there's probably 5 to 10 of us.
Jeez, man, that's an amazing number. To have that few people on that size property is pretty sweet. So are you doing, you said you're out there the most hunting. Do you guys do a lot of like habitat improvement, land management, food plot, that type of stuff? Or do you guys kind of leave it and then come in and.
Yeah. So I'll run some cameras just to keep track of what's out there. But her dad and her uncles run a beef farm on the property. So they're out there day to day, and they'll kind of tell me what they see and stuff like that. So I've never done a ton of food plots, because they have so many cornfields and soybeans, and if they've got that there, I'm not going to try to compete with it and put my time and energy in when I just sit on a field that's already planted and see what comes out. And the deer are used to coming to it anyway, so it works out.
Yeah, that's awesome to have a property. I mean, that's bigger than most mature deer's core range, you know. Like, yeah, there's probably deer that spend the first several years of their life never leaving the property. And so if you have everything they need, there's not really a need to make any improvements unless you're really trying to isolate them or lock them down in a specific area for a specific time.
Yeah. There's I knew a couple years ago, and I saw this buck one time during bow season, but he was weird, non-typical, palmated on one side. One side looked like a club with spikes at the end, just an odd buck. And her cousin ended up killing it on the farm in December. And he had a picture on Facebook, and somebody commented they had a trail camera picture of the deer like 4 or 5 miles away.
Dang.
And that buck seemed to range pretty far. And you know, that's the farthest I know of one traveling. But I have sheds from a deer that I know have been on the farm for several years now. And 2 years ago, his sheds would have been like 146 inch deer. So, I know, he's still out there.
That's one of the most exciting things about deer hunting, when you get those pictures after season, like, Oh yes, he made it through. He made it through. He made it through. And we're fortunate on the property I hunt. Like, I was just out there today. I was putting out another trail camera and just checking on things. And I was talking to my buddy about it. I was like, it's so crazy to be in a position where you obviously can't control everything. You know, a deer could get disease or get taken out by coyotes or get hit by a car. But most of the deer that we don't shoot are back in the same spot the next year. You know, like, we do not lose a lot of deer to neighbors, because for the most part, there's one person on any side of the property that hunts. All of the other directions, north, east, and west, all of those spots have zero hunting pressure on them. There's only one guy that hunts on the south border of the property. And so it's like, if he doesn't kill it, nobody's going to kill it unless it travels long ways. And we've lost a couple like that, where it's like 2 or 3 or 4 miles down the river bottom, somebody kills it, and I find out, and I'm like, dang, man, he traveled a long way. But it's the rut, man. They'll go wherever the does lead them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the property that joins the farm on kind of the northeast side is a hunt club. And so they don't shoot anything small. So the deer get pretty big, but they get pretty smart too. So it turns into a game of chess, which is adds another element to it.
Yeah, that's, I haven't had to compete with a hunt club like that before. I mean, some public land we hunt out in Colorado butts up to a giant private ranch. And I mean, it's a full on outfitter. Like they've got people out there every day of every season. And so that's been a challenge. But other than that, I haven't really had to deal with anything like that on private property that I've hunted.
Yeah. I've had a couple interactions with them. They're all pretty cool guys. So it works out.
Yeah. Do you guys have cameras out right now, or have you not put any out yet this year?
I put them out like a week ago behind the eight ball on that one, but I haven't checked them yet. And at this point, the deer are, you kind of got them patterned and figured out. So I know about where they'll be, and I just put the cameras out to see what's out there. So I'll check them here in a couple of weeks and go from there, but I haven't looked to see what I got this year.
Do you have a specific hit lister at all that you know for sure is alive? Or are you just waiting at this point to confirm that he's made it through?
The deer that I have the sheds from, based on what my brother-in-law has told me, is still out there. What it sounds like the same deer, because he sees him in the area where the sheds were found, and he said he was already like 18 inches wide back in July.
Dang.
So if that is the same deer, that would be at the top of the list, and he's been there for a couple years. So that's the only for sure one I know of, but there's always going to be somebody wandering in that will surprise you.
Man, it's exciting. It's exciting to know that you've got a big one that's out there. And I always have a hard time, because obviously if I had a choice and I had two big bucks and I had history with one and not the other, I mean, I would shoot the one that I had history with, right? Like it just seems like a better story when you've got multiple encounters with it. The struggle that I have is when a big buck comes in, or one that might not be quite as big as your shooter or your hit lister, and he comes in and gives you an opportunity and you're just like, man, I'm pretty sure, so-and-so is going to be out here at some point in the next couple days. Should I send an arrow? Yeah. And that's the real struggle for me early season, because like I said, I got to hang the bow up aside from getting, does until after rifle season. During rifle season, I could still go out and get a second buck, but the opportunities early season seem to be amazing in comparison to late season where I hunt.
Yeah, muzzleloader season here seems to be the best as far as activity and daylight activity. Last year, opening day of muzzleloader season, there was a property that I ended up losing permission on at the end of the season, but it was kind of a narrow, long property with a field in the front and some woods in the back, and you could just sit on the edge of the field. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a buck chasing a doe, and I thought about it, and I was like, I don't know. And now looking back, I kind of wish I had, because I can't hunt there anymore and nobody else can hunt there anymore. So, oh, well.
Dang, I've never really thought about that side of it. I mean, I've always got that fear in the back of my mind that I'm going to lose the hunting property that I've got access to. But I can't even imagine if you pass one up thinking like, oh, man, next year. And then all of a sudden you lose access to that property.
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be rough. That'd be a tough pill to swallow.
Oh, well.
What else do you hunt on that property? I mean, do you guys keep it primarily whitetail, or do you hunt other animals on it as well?
We'll turkey hunt there some. There's a lot of fields, so just finding where the turkeys roost and trying to call them across the field or stalk them across the field, either one. We dove hunt it a lot, and I don't goose hunt, but there's several ponds and a bunch of geese, so there's some folks that'll have layout blinds and put some spreads out and try to goose hunt, duck hunt as well, but that's about it.
Is dove hunting pretty big there? I feel like a lot of the YouTube videos I see of big dove hunts that happen are coming from Virginia and West Virginia. I don't know if that just like came to mind because I knew you were from there, or if that actually rings true and there's a huge dove hunting population there.
It's a pretty big thing. I really didn't get into it till last year. I always knew it was a thing, but I took a buddy fishing with me on the farm, and this was back in April, and he was looking at all the doves and was like, can we dove hunt? I'm like, yeah, Trevor, we can dove hunt. It's no big deal. So we got out there opening day, and in Virginia, you can opening day starts at 12. So you can't hunt till noon. And we had a limit, had a 3-man limit, which is 45 doves by like 4 o'clock. So that was a pretty fun day.
Yeah, that's amazing. Dove hunting, for the people who don't dove hunt yet, it is seriously quick action. Like I've come to love dove hunting. I love duck hunting. I love goose hunting. But dove hunting, man, opening day here is so high paced. There are so many birds around, and they get smart pretty quick. I mean, I feel like you go from seeing 100% of the birds on day one to like 15% day two, and then it probably drops to single digits after that. But dove hunting is amazing. All right, guys. So I know that last year was kind of a wild year for censorship for hunters and anglers, but that's why we've partnered with the social media platform Go Wild to combat mainstream social media censorship. Now, Go Wild is a free social community that was built by outdoors men and women just like me and you. Not only are your photos not censored on Go Wild, they're actually encouraged. And they give you points for things like sharing your trophies, gear reviews, and inviting friends. And as you earn those points, you can unlock awesome rewards like gift cards, free swag, knives, huge discounts on brands like Garmin and Vortex, and so much more. Check this out, though. If you create a free account, you can unlock $10 just for trying it out. So go visit downloadgowild.com to get started.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what to expect. And he told me, he's like, oh, you'll love it. So we got out there, and where we were sitting, they have a cattle feed lot and feeder steers. And there's a little gravel road and a telephone line above it. And then there's a cornfield. And we just sat with our backs on some fence posts against the feed lot. And they'd come over the corn to the line, and you just catch them right before they get to the line. And then on the other side of the barn, there were some guys hunting. So we were just playing ping pong, bouncing doves back and forth all afternoon. It was some pretty hot action.
That's sweet. I've seen people hunt by those feed lots, and my cousin actually, we kept driving past this one dairy farm on the way to, I think it was my mom's in-law's house. Anyways, we were driving by and we kept seeing like hundreds of doves and pigeons that kept kicking up out of this feedlot. And so my cousin's like, dude, I'm stopping there. I'm going to go find the person who owns that and get permission on it. And I'm like, that would be so much fun, because the only thing that I've done even close to that is, one of the neighbors to my hunting property. He's probably like 2 miles down the road, but he's got a hayloft, right? So it's just like a roof with no walls. They keep hay. I don't know what the technical term is for that, but the doves just pile in there, and it's insane. You just sit there with your back to the hay bales, and there's, what makes it even better is there's a four-way fence crossing right in front of it. And so they all just line up on that top strand of wire, and we'll clip mojos on and dove decoys on and just hammer birds. That's by far our best place. As like after opening weekend, we can't seem to hunt public land very well, but that spot stays consistent all throughout dove season.
Yeah, that one, the cornfield that we hunted last year, they ended up cutting it shortly after season started, and we went out one day after work for an afternoon quick hunt and started walking across the field, and every bit of like 400 or 500 doves came up out of this field after they cut the corn, and the whole field turned black for a second. And then they all flew away and none came back, and it ruined the afternoon. But seeing that was pretty cool.
What a species of doves do you guys have there? Are they just like morning doves?
I forget. I have heard the exact species one time. I don't remember. I just know they all taste good on the grill after you shoot them. So I don't discriminate.
Dude, dove jalapeno poppers, man. That's
where it's
my go-to snack in August, in September after season opens. Yeah, our season here is September 1st is the opener. Is that same for you guys?
It's September, I think it's third this year. It's always the Saturday before Labor Day.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see. Our first baby is due September 1st. So I'm hoping he stays in the oven a little longer and I get to hunt opening day. But we'll see what happens.
That's funny. My son was born August 31st. And so that was the year he was born was the 1 year I missed Dev Opener in a long time. I mean, like 10 years.
Yeah.
So I'll keep my fingers crossed for you that the baby doesn't show up till like the 5th or 6th.
I appreciate that. I told her make it through Labor Day, please. That'll get my fix in and then we can have a baby.
Yeah, there you go. Priorities, right?
That's right.
That's awesome. Do you do any traveling for hunting or do you basically stick close to home?
Pretty close to home. I got a buddy that lives a couple counties over. So I'll go over and hunt with him a little bit, but that's still like 45 minutes away. Nothing major. Yeah. I'd love to travel more, especially out west and hunt out there, but I haven't done that yet.
Is there a specific species you want to go after out there?
I'd love to hunt elk somewhere in the Rockies. That would be a bucket list thing.
Man, you got to look at some of the opportunities close to home for elk hunting. You've got a lot of states right there within probably a couple hours of you that have started opening elk seasons.
They've opened one here. Southwest Virginia introduced an elk herd a couple years ago. And I think any of your deer tags can apply to an elk if you're in a county that has them. And they had a draw. They had a draw this year to hunt the county where they actually introduced the herd to begin with. Of course, I didn't get drawn, but I did enter. That would have been pretty cool. But I know some of the elk that they've introduced have kind of migrated to the surrounding counties, and they're free game if you're that lucky.
Oh my gosh, that would be a trip. I can't imagine. I mean, I know roughly where the elk population is here in Missouri, but if I was sitting in my tree stand and an elk walked through, that'd be heaven on earth for me. I mean,
yeah.
I can't imagine a ton of people elk hunt from a tree stand, but if it was like, hey, if you see one, you can shoot it because there's not actually regulations or your deer tag is good for an elk as well. Oh man. I might have to come check out Virginia and see what it's all about.
Come on, it's a good time.
Yeah, you guys have a pretty significant bear population there too, don't you?
Yeah, that's another big thing. I haven't gotten into it, but I don't know what bear hunting's like out where you are. But around here, 99% of people hunt them with dogs.
Okay.
And right now it's actually what they call training season, so you can kind of get your dogs exercised. But it's a pretty regular occurrence on the weekends during hunting season to see all the trucks with dog boxes pulled into the little country stores getting lunch and telling all kinds of stories. And everybody's got 4 or 5 dogs on the back of their truck. So it's definitely a culture of its own that I haven't gotten into, but there's a pretty big draw for that in the area for sure.
Listen, if you do decide to go out and try that, forewarning, everybody that I know that starts to hunt with dogs, that becomes number one passion. Like, it's insane. The houndsman community is so pumped up about running dogs, and I can see why. I mean, it's for good reason. I've run beagles for rabbits before, and then I've done hound hunting for mountain lions. And it's so cool to see an animal, like man's best friend, right, used as a tool to help help you go and not even just recover game like a retriever would, but actually to go and find it for you.
They will run deer with dogs some here too, which is pretty fun. And I never really got into it till I married my wife and a lot of her family did it. It's definitely something that's more common with mountain people and people that live back in the mountains. It's kind of, like I said, a culture of its own. And it's different. Sometimes you'll get one that just kind of walks by good ways ahead of the dogs, and then you'll get them that are going Mach 10 trying to get away, and there's no chance you can shoot them, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's something I want to experience. You know, I feel like it is a very mixed review on that for people who have never done it. but it seems like it's pretty consistent, like in the states that allow it, for the most part, people are cool with it. You know, you'll definitely get those people who are like, man, it drives me nuts when I'm sitting in my tree stand and all of a sudden a pack of dogs runs through and blows out the deer. But what is it like, I guess, the political side of it in Virginia? Do most people seem to be cool with it?
Most of the people I know are cool with it just because it's such a big thing where we are and everybody's grown up around it. And I'm sure there's people out there that don't like it, and I can see where they would kind of have negative feelings. But for the most part, everybody understands what it is, and it's pretty well accepted.
Yeah. I'm really curious, like looking ahead toward the future for my kids and my kids' kids, what type of hunting opportunities are going to be out there? I'm not the doomsday guy where it's like everything's disappearing, we're not going to be able to hunt anything ever again. But also, I understand there's plenty of people that are out there trying to take away our ability to hunt certain things. And you're seeing that a lot in the Northwest right now, you know, bear hunting becoming illegal or, you know, being taken off the table, and trail cameras. Like, there's states now where it's illegal to use trail cameras for any type of hunting purpose or information or scouting or anything like that. And so, I feel like you've got some of those solid states where you're never going to lose it. Like Wisconsin, you're always going to be able to deer hunt, period. There's 600,000 people that show up opening weekend with rifles or shotguns to chase after deer. It's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I can't see it disappearing where we are. There's too many people that would keep on hunting if it was illegal. So they won't do that.
Yeah, that's something that I would hate to ever have to face, but also I would have a very serious internal conflict if they did outlaw deer hunting. Like if they like, hey, you can't deer hunt anymore, I'd be like, but yeah, I don't know if I can play by those rules. Like, never deer hunt. It's one thing to regulate it, it's one thing to have smart practice with it and limit how many animals are harvested. But to completely do away with the hunt without any type of scientific or biological evidence, I feel like there'd be an uprising.
I think the negative effects, if you outlawed it, would be too great, and they'd have to do something. So I can't see it ever going away.
Yeah. What does this year look like for you as far as hunting goes? What's your next season coming up, or what's on the agenda? What's a priority for you?
Dove season's coming up here in a couple weeks, and then bow season comes in 1st of October. So I used to bow hunt a lot more in high school. I haven't bow hunted as much as I've gotten older, just with life going on and things happening, but I'd like to get back into it a little bit, so we'll see how that goes. And then always looking forward to taking people out with me hunting. So that's kind of something I've gotten into lately, is trying to help people get their first deer. And so we'll see how that goes this year.
Yeah, that's sweet. Muzzleloader hunting is something that I've never gotten into. My dad had a muzzleloader, I think, for 1 year, and then he realized he probably wasn't going to go out and hunt with it, and he got rid of it. But obviously it extends the season here. It's not necessarily a muzzleloader season. They call it alternative firearm season. And so you can use a pistol, you can use a muzzleloader, you could use, technically, you can use like AR pistols even, which is kind of like the loophole that a lot of people are going with, because you still have a pretty decent range. You can fire them quickly, or you can, you know, have follow-up shots that happen quick. But, you know, you don't have to worry about reloading all the powder and the ball and everything.
Yeah, I started that, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, got into muzzleloader hunting. And my dad had an old flintlock years ago, and he would always tell horror stories about chasing a deer around all day after he shot it. He would never muzzleloader hunt again. But I have a CVA, and it's pretty wicked. It's like a 250 grain 50 caliber bullet, and it shoots 1-inch groups at 100 yards. So
jeez,
it does the job.
Yeah, that's awesome. How, what's reload time on something like that? Like, say you did shoot it and then it presented your presented you with another shot, maybe out at 120, how quickly can you reload that and get another shot in?
30 seconds. So they make powder pellets that are like pre-charged 50 grain charges. And I have tubes that you can pre-package everything in. So it's got the bullet and two bullets, and you just take the cap off the tube and dump it down the barrel and then shove the bullet down with the ramrod and put another primer in, and you're back in business.
Dang, man. That would be very interesting. When you're muzzleloader hunting, are you basically just still hunting? Are you like sitting in a tree stand hunting?
Yeah, I'll do it both ways. Just kind of depending on where I'm at. I took a with me last year. We were cool, but I know him pretty good. And his dad asked me a couple years ago if I would kind of help him get into it. And he said he wanted to buy a muzzleloader, and his school gave him like a week off. And I told him, well, if you get one, you know, I'll gladly take you because I'm going to be out there. And we were out there one afternoon on this hardwood ridge that runs kind of east-west on the western side of a big mountain ridge. So it gets great afternoon sun, and the deer just bed up there. And it was 2:30 in the afternoon, and there was one coming up the ridge. And we were sitting against this big tree that was wide enough both of us could sit there and not stick out either side. And he turned around to me, and he told me he heard something, and I thought I'd heard something too. And he peeked around the tree and looked back, and his eyes looked like golf balls. And he said, there's one right there. And I looked back, and sure enough, like 20 yards up the ridge from us, there's a big old spike coming down. No clue we were there. So I told him, hey, got all the time in the world, just relax and lean against the tree and make a good shot. And he missed the first shot, and the deer ran down the backside of the ridge, and he turned to me, and shaking like a leaf is an understatement. and he had a hard time reloading because he was shaking so bad, but he got it reloaded, and we walked up the ridge to where the deer was. And it started walking back up the ridge towards us, and unfortunately he missed again. But
oh no.
That was a wild afternoon.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I watched that meat eater episode. I don't remember what state they went to, but they went there for like the flintlock season, or maybe it was a muzzleloader season and they were just using flintlocks. But watching them just kind of struggle, mm-hmm. you know, things get wet. All of a sudden there's like a misfire, or, you know, it doesn't fire when you go to hit or when you go to pull the trigger. Is it similar with muzzleloader, or are those more fail proof than the flintlocks are?
They're pretty fail proof. As long as you got the flash hole clean so that you get a good ignition on your powder, it's usually no issues. Guys that do hunt in a lot of time, a bag or some saran wrap or something like that just to cover the end of the barrel so nothing goes to the barrel. But for the most part, I've never had a problem with anything going off.
Yeah, that would also be one of those frustrating moments where you have a deer that you've been chasing for a while or had history with in your sights, and then all of a sudden it's like equipment malfunctions on you. But it's interesting, like I've seen people that will tape the end of their barrel. You know, they put tape over it, and then the bullet mm-hmm. just, or like the gas before the bullet comes out the muzzle,
pushes the tape off.
Yeah. And so I was looking into that. Well, there's companies that basically make like muzzle condoms. It's like just a little piece of rubber that goes on it. I mean, it looks like a mini condom, and you can buy them in like 50 packs for when you're out hunting. It would have been great if I had something like that. And I'm very, very glad that I didn't fire. I don't know what would have happened, and I don't want to know. But I was elk hunting out in Colorado, and we had just got done for the day. We got back to camp, and I took my rifle. I laid it in my tent. The next morning, I woke up, and we were getting ready to go. So, you know, I put the magazine in, take the scope cover off, and I just happened to, like, as I picked it up, the thread protector, or I guess it was a muzzle brake at that point, was right in front of my face. And I sweep the gun in front of me, And I look, and there is a stick sticking clean through the hole on one side into the other side. And apparently at some point, as we were cruising through the scrub brush, a stick had gotten lodged in there. And had I not seen that and like maybe pulled the trigger later on, who knows what would have happened?
That's not a good day.
Yeah. So at that point I was like, yeah, I might seriously consider getting some type of muzzle protector. Whether it was tape or, you know, one of those gun condom deals, and make it happen.
I've thought about taping my barrel, especially like that, like going through the brush or something like that. I always kind of keep an eye on that kind of thing, but I've definitely thought about doing it, just never have.
Yeah. I know you had mentioned you'd like to get out west and do an elk hunt. Is that top of your bucket list, or what is, I'll ask it this way. If you could hunt anything, any species, anywhere with any weapon, what would it be?
It would probably be elk somewhere in the Rockies. I don't particularly know what state. I don't know that I know enough to care one way or the other yet, but definitely elk with a rifle would be top of the bucket list.
Nice. Yeah, it's, I'm telling you, it's a ton of fun. And the nice thing is a lot of people don't understand how accessible it is. Like there are states where you've got, you know, 30 to 40% of the state is over the counter tags. You know, there's some trophy units that you have to draw for or put in points for, but there's some states where you can just go to Walmart on your drive in and buy a license and go out and chase after elk.
Yeah. That's I got a buddy here that I grew up with, and I know he's done some stuff like that. And I don't keep in touch with him that much anymore, but it's something I've thought about. I just don't have the time to do it right now.
Yeah, I mean that's the tough part, especially as you get farther. I mean, I don't even know how many hours northeast of me, and so I'm sure it's got to be a 20 plus hour drive for you to get out to like the Rocky Mountain Range. And so, yeah, it's a big commitment. I mean, obviously it takes time to get out there, and then the hunt itself takes time, but you want to know where you're at. And so like doing the scouting thing beforehand, it can add up pretty quickly, but I would highly recommend it. Once you do find some time or have an opening in your schedule, try to plan a trip for October and get out there.
Yeah. I'll make it happen one day.
Do you have any, local hunts or bordering state hunts that you're wanting to do, or are you just going to kind of stick with, I mean, if I had 1100 acres of private land, it would be hard for me to travel anywhere else close to hunt, but are there other hunting opportunities close to home that you're thinking about pursuing or trying out?
Not really. It's kind of a sportsman's paradise right here close to home, and we live 5 minutes from the farm, so it's nice to be able to get up and be in a tree stand within half an hour. So it's when I got that right here, I'm not too worried about looking elsewhere.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. It sounds great. I want to check out Virginia. I hear a lot of good things about, I mean, Tennessee all the way up to Maine, like that whole area, the Appalachian Mountains. Like, it just seems like a cool place. And you think wilderness, a lot of people think out west, but like the mountain ranges that you guys have are insane. When I see people like posting videos and pictures from hunts out there, I'm like, everyone's looking too far west. They need to start looking back the other way.
Yeah, it's definitely mountainous. And I probably hunted more mountains when we were public land turkey hunting as a kid than I do now. But I can remember one morning turkey hunting and here, spring gobbler, you can hunt sunrise till noon. And we chased a gobbler up through the mountains. And at 11:50, we realized we were like 5 miles from the truck, according to the GPS.
Jeez.
So we had to walk that back. But yeah, you can definitely get back in some pretty remote places.
Yeah, that sounds awesome, man. It's definitely, the hunts out east are definitely things that I'm going to start looking towards in the future, applying for elk tags in some of the states that are opening up right now. Like Kentucky, I think, has opportunities open to non-resident. Same with Pennsylvania. I honestly don't know the list out there, but I know that the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is doing amazing work all over the country and doing reintroduction projects. And so I firmly believe that within my lifetime, we're going to see several dozen states that have active open elk seasons.
Oh yeah. It's just a matter of time. And like you said, they're already putting the work in. I know Kentucky's got one. I think Eastern Tennessee has something. Northeast Tennessee is kind of right there in the Appalachian Mountain chain. They've got elk there. And then the southwest portion of Virginia where they've introduced an elk herd is right there in that same mountain chain. So it's all in that kind of general area. So it's just a matter of time before that expands even more. But yeah, I think it'll turn into something pretty cool.
Yeah, that's – man, it's a dream. Eventually, we're going to have like a – I don't know if there's like an elk grand slam or not, like they have with turkeys and deer species and stuff, but I'm sure that at some point there's going to be like some crazy big elk grand slam or world slam or super slam where you can hunt, you know, 20 or elk in 20 different states. And there's going to be people who are out to do it right out of the gate, which I mean,
oh, yeah.
Trust me, if I could get tags for every state, I'd be taking all fall chasing after bugles because it's
absolutely
a totally different ball game.
For sure.
Well, man, I appreciate you hopping on. And like I said, I just love talking to other hunters, people who have kind of a different experience. Oh, one thing I didn't ask you that I was going to, you had mentioned you've got your hardwood ridges that you hunt and you've got your crop fields or ag fields. What is your go-to? Like if you had good weather for hunting, like a cold front's coming in, big temperature drop, what would you pick in your area? Are you hunting the edge or are you hunting one of those ridges?
That's a tough one because I've been pretty successful on both, really. And it would kind of depend on what I'd experienced prior to that, I guess I should say, if I'm not seeing them in one area, generally I'm going to go somewhere else till I can find them because they're there somewhere. So it would kind of I'd probably play it by ear and make my decision based on what the last couple weeks have been looking like. If it was late in the season, I would say definitely hardwoods because all the ag fields are going to be cut and they're going to be looking for acorns or last whatever they can. So definitely late season, I'd say hardwoods. If there's still standing crops somewhere, I'd probably find a crop field.
Yeah. No, that makes sense with just the most recent scouting or intel that you've gotten, you know, where you've been seeing them. Obviously, that has a lot more weight than any other factor out there, because if you're seeing them consistently coming out into a field or you're seeing them consistently cruising a ridge, like, well, you got to kind of go where they're telling you they're at. Well, sweet, man. I appreciate you hopping on. I know we're getting close to an hour. Before we hop off, I want to give you an opportunity to share where people can find you, where they can follow along, and just kind of track how your season's going.
Yeah. Instagram's probably the best place. I don't post a ton, but that would be where I post anything. Probably more so stories than anything else, but the Instagram is my name, Cole, Cole_Bittler, Bittler. It's where I'll post anything that exciting that goes on.
Nice, man. Well, if you're ever looking at branching out to other, you know, Midwestern states or somewhere a little closer to home than the Rocky Mountains, hit me up. We've got some pretty awesome deer here. A lot of cool hunting opportunities. I feel like as I talk to people, everyone, I guess when you grow up somewhere, when you get used to all the hunting opportunities, they're like, man, it's a sportsman's paradise. I say that all the time about my home state of Wisconsin. Now that I'm in Missouri, I say the same thing. And it's just cool to see how many different opportunities each state has to offer.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's cool seeing how different states hunt it too. So if you ever want to come, let's see what Virginia is all about. Shoot me a message and we'll make something happen because it's definitely a good time.
Man, I'll come up and you can teach me how to muzzleloader hunt. That sounds fun. I don't know why. Ever since I saw that episode, I'm like, it definitely adds another challenge to it. But
oh yeah,
that's insane. I'll be picking your brain also a little bit more about that model that you have, because a 1-inch group at 100 yards with a muzzleloader, I can't imagine that that's very common.
It was what they advertised, and I got one to see, and it's been the real deal. I think it's a CVA Acura.
Okay.
It's got a Bergara barrel, which is kind of their big claim to fame on that model, which is pretty sweet.
I did a lot of research on Bergaras. A couple of years ago, I was looking for a new elk hunting rifle, and that was a top contender. But yeah, Bergara is definitely making a name for themselves in the outdoor world right now.
Yeah, it's a sweet shooter. I definitely am happy with that purchase.
Yeah. Well, dude, yeah, we'll stay in touch, and maybe we'll just have to do a hunt swap one of these years. You come down
Sounds
here
good
and
to
then
me.
I'll come up there and we'll see if we can branch out and get extra deer.
All right.
Awesome, man. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. Have a good one.
And that is going to wrap it up for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed that one. It was a ton of fun chatting with Cole and hearing all about what Virginia has to offer. That is one of the many states that are still on my list to go and hunt. I see big bucks coming out of there all the time, but to hear about the variety of game animals that you can go out to Virginia and chase after, I mean, especially on that one property. Deer, bear, turkey, dove, that right there is everything that I need. But good luck to Cole this season. Hopefully he tags out on some of the bucks that he's chasing after. It sounds like he's got a great chance to do it, and hopefully you guys are gearing up. Food plots should be in, or in like this week at least, and tree stands I'm sure are getting hung up all over the place. Bows are getting pulled out, dusted off, and sighted in. Hopefully you're a little bit more prepared than that, but it's coming up. I mean, I can't wait to start seeing progress pictures or success pictures from people going out in the early season. I think those hot days kind of sucks, but it's totally worth it anyways. You're going to get covered in chiggers and ticks and poison ivy and probably be sunburnt by the end of a full day sit. But I would do it every day if it means I get to hunt. Hopefully you guys are the same way. And until next time, always choose adventure and God bless.